to the podcast where we come up with ideas for your role-playing game so you don't have to. I'm Zane C. Weber. I sound different this week. It's a cold, I swear. I'm actually Dom Guilfoyle, and I am taking over for Zane this week because, you know, it's fun to mix things up. It's fun to keep things fresh. And I swear Zane won't be harmed till we return to you in due course if Zane behaves. All right, this week we have our regular host. We have before us the one, the only.
I'm Dom Guilfoyle. I can't even say your name right.
It's Dog Guilfoyle. It's Dog Guilfoyle. You might know him from Dog the Bounty Hunter. It's Tully Grimley.
It's Tully Grimley. Hello.
He's tongue-tied.
Yes, very badly it seems.
Yes, and we have this week, we have two guest hosts this week. On my right, we have...
This is right. I'm Brooke. Hello. I was here once before. Sorry.
I didn't say that you hadn't been here before. I merely said that you were a guest. Okay.
Oh, no. That was me prefacing for the listeners
Return
at home.
Guest apologizing. Host. Apologizing. It's Brooke. And a second guest host this week, we have Jack.
Yep, I'm returned as prophesized.
Oh my god, it's all happening. Getting the gang back together or something. This group of people hasn't actually been in the same room before at the same time, but you know, let's retcon it. Anyway, welcome to Hooked. This is the show where we come up with some fun, cool, wacky, or perhaps not so wacky ideas for your role-playing games, and we do it in the form of a magic trick or something like that. First, we have the pledge where we each give you a sort of a little spark, a bit of intrigue, a bit of a starting place for your storyline. And then we go to the turn where we expand upon that a bit, flesh it out. And then finally the prestige where we give it that final little bit of spice where it becomes a truly great role-playing experience and also a role-playing experience instead of just a weird little story with a lot of details missing and no characters. And we come up with these ideas basically on the spot, improvised off the top of our heads, with inspiration coming from a randomly selected Magic the Gathering card and a randomly generated word. But before we get to any of that, I feel isolated. I feel alone. I want to reach out and make a connection with my fellow human beings. Tully Grimley, can you help me with this? Can you help me? Can you help me get to know the people around this table?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm not sure if you're familiar with the concept of a favored enemy. This is something that you are particularly good at facing off against. I want to know your real life favored enemies.
Mine is TERFs.
TERFs. Excellent.
I have in fact been banned from Twitter for fighting with TERFs.
Oh, I thought you meant the grass.
I just peg rocks at my feet. Sometimes I hit my feet. It's embarrassing. But yeah, just AstroTurf, it just makes my blood boil.
Yeah, Dom actually slew Sir Walter.
Yeah.
It was not pretty.
Yeah. And also, don't get me started on trans-exclusionary radical feminists. That's also something I'm not a fan of.
I've had the same thing happen to me. I was banned from Twitter. Went to free speech jail because of a TERF joke I made.
Nice.
I said on Twitter... It's funny that they call them TERFs because I want to run them over with my lawnmower.
Nice.
And that got that got me banned for a week.
Suspended. Oh, I got suspended a few times.
Oh.
But no, finally banned, partly because I was just really harassing Graham Linehan a lot.
Oh, that's just... That's your moral duty.
Of that unfolding. It was wild.
That's your moral duty, my friend.
Brooke.
We've just gone back to university, so I'm going to say first years. I'm a third year student doing a bunch of first year classes because I'm an idiot who fucked our course schedule up.
Look, I did the same thing.
Yeah, it's disgusting, but I have learned that I'm very good at asserting my dominance over first years.
I
think they're all into it.
Back when I was at UQ, I would have said, more specifically, the people who are trying to give you the flyers for the U Politics societies around the union election times. Those guys can fuck off. Mm-hmm.
As somebody currently involved in student politics, hate them.
Yeah, they suck.
Yeah.
And what about yourself, Tully?
About myself.
Jack was a bit of a side one as well.
I'm cockroaches, I reckon. I've gotten really good at like knowing the psychology of a cockroach.
Yeah, sure.
I was down in Adelaide recently, and the cockroaches there are like two times as slow as the ones in Queensland. Like, we've got some really high tier cockroaches, and I feel like I've gotten to this point where like I can take one on. It's like combat, you know. I feel like Conan the Barbarian after I get one. It's
nice.
Like,
The South American, yeah, that's what I meant to say. The South Australian cockroaches, you know, they live in the lap of luxury. They've got, they're drunk on the lovely wine of the Barossa Valley.
I learned to say Barossa.
Yeah, maybe that's where that is. I'm poor. I don't know. I don't drink wine.
Or go places.
Yeah, they're just dawdling on their way to one of Adelaide's many churches. They're not like the Mad Max motherfuckers we have in Brisbane, Australia.
No. Yeah.
I'm swearing a lot more than Dane usually does because I'm bringing my own spice.
Oh,
to
it's
this
edgy.
Show.
It is. Yeah. It's got a kick.
This ain't your mama's hooked. And back to Tully.
I'd have to say call center support staff.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's like, it is honestly like making a deal with the devil. You've got to make sure that the terms are set out in exactly the way you need so that you know exactly what you need to do and what they're going to do for you. And you get it in writing and you're sorted.
They're like a genie in that.
They're like a genie. They're like genies.
Yeah, exactly. Like often I found myself, I'm calling like a call center person and I just like, I see the monkey's paw on my mantle curling. I'm like, damn it. It's going to be twisted in some way. Mm,
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'd say call center support stuff.
Well, I'm actually friends with a couple of people who work in call center support and they probably suck at it. So yeah, just based on their personalities, they're probably a nightmare. Okay, now let's get onto the game. A short little while ago, these wonderful people were given their card, their Magic the Gathering card that they are working off, they are inspired by. It is Clockwork Beast, drawn by Drew Tucker. It is an artifact creature of 6 colorless mana, 0/4. And when Clockwork Beast comes into play, it gets some... counters on it in an end of combat when
see when we do this bit I never understand what any of this means.
I understand it well enough that I tend to, in some cases, I've taken inspiration from its mechanical meaning for where my story goes.
Oh, that's some metagame shit.
I've played Magic Gathering once.
I've played Magic Gathering a couple of times and I beat one of the people that tried it that taught it to me, and it was like, oh, you got lucky, you had good cards. And it's like, yeah, we drafted, Ben. I drafted better than you too. Anyway,
it has the numbers +1 and +0 on it. Why are you adding 0? What's the point of a +0?
Well, attack and defense.
The +1 is the attack. Zero is
so
its defense.
Okay,
yes,
it's
exactly.
A whole thing, right? That makes sense.
What do we think of this card art? It's an interesting one, isn't it?
Mm. It's stylish. I really like this one.
Yeah,
it's got some early, like you said, early sort of 20th century vibe about it.
Yeah.
Very futurist or something, or dadaism or something.
I describe it as Picasso meets Transformers, and I stand by that.
It very much looks like a beast made out of scraps of sheet metal.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good one. I like it a lot. And our word is reflection. Random is like a word. Each player, host, this is a game. This is just a game
to me. We
have
to fight to the death now.
That's the after show. Each player also has a randomly selected card with a different concept or thing on them, like such as NPC, magic item, spell effect, that sort of thing, which they can also choose to incorporate. We call that hard mode. And now let's play Hooked.
Dun, dun,
who
dun,
wants
dun.
To go first?
I got evil NPC. I feel like I really lucked out on this one. It seems very, very straight to the point.
Sure.
I mean, the situation I see this bad boy in is just like... You walk up to does metal exist in Dungeons? It does now. Metal now exists in Dungeons and Dragons.
It's a role-playing
game.
Heavy
metal,
what you want, like
what
the musical genre?
Yes. No, I'm seeing, like, you said scrap metal, and that's exactly what I'm picturing, is like just like a junkyard of what looks like pieces of metal and scrap. But as you approach, like, these creatures just unfurl and they sort of start romping around like cars, but also kind of a lion. I've got evil NPC written here. I can see these things being hunted for sport, for their parts. Like, I'm just picturing these big metal creatures that are, you know, taken down and then stripped clean.
Kind of scrap golems.
Yeah. But also, like, I think you could use them in farming. I imagine they would, like, shit nuts and bolts. Like, this is...
We've all been
so
there,
that means
folks.
They digest. You'd have to feed them something. You have to cultivate
what
them.
What would like, you...
Well, you've got to feed them metal for that, so I'm assuming they're eating each other.
Oh, now they're cannibals. No. I mean, We could figure that out later. But yeah, like, this is I think there's a lot. Yeah. I mean, really, I'm just describing what's on the card. I'm not doing anything interesting here.
Well, you're adding that it's a kind of livestock. That's an interesting one. It's a combination of nature and mechanical form, something like that. Like that. All right. Who wants to go next?
I had here. I had dungeon here, and I often think that, you know, in lots of tabletop games we have, you know, it's Dungeons and Dragons, and we think about dungeons, and dungeons are just places that you kind of move through, but we don't think of them as like places with utility and a history to them. Like, why are these things here? Mm-hmm. What was this thing used for? And it's somewhat abandoned. I think of this sort of this thing that I see being in a dungeon and not being a force that's there to sort of harm the party. It's not there to attack them. It's more so some sort of automaton that is almost like a key that they need to escort this automaton as it sort of moves through and starts unlocking different parts of this.
Do we want to frame these in a pledge in a story manner, or are we going to go a little more mechanically? It's up to you. This is like...
Who's hosting here?
No, that's totally fine. Like, yeah, like it's the pledge. Like, we can build on it from there. You've got kind of a like some sort of mechanical creature that is,
yeah. And you know, we're talking from a mechanical way. You could the fight is more so about following this thing, keeping up with it, and also defending it if there's other things that are trying to stop it. Do you know? It's like those sort of escort mission things can often feel kind of, I think, in a video game, can feel really not very fun, not very interesting. But I think in a tabletop game, because you as the DM can have a bit more control and a little bit maybe more leniency to your players, it could actually be interesting, and you could see some behavioral quirks around this machine.
Or maybe the machine, it's kind of impervious, but they just need to be near it.
Yeah.
Like, they need to be near it, and monsters are attacking. It's just like, well, we have it's moving slowly. Let's just survive.
Yeah, exactly. It's a force that they need to kind of. It's instead of having where all the players are just like, you're in an environment and just wait for them to leave.
Yeah.
You as using the old railroad can just like, it's moving. You better start getting moving too.
Yeah, I like that.
Could be used in that sense.
All right. And finally, we have Thule.
Yes. So I have here settlement. So. I want you to imagine you're walking into a city, and it is just...
It's Adelaide.
Yeah, it's just
the
Adelaide.
There's churches everywhere.
There's like there's kebab places on every corner. There's one that's red and one that's blue, and everyone has an opinion on which one's correct.
But the wine. Go on.
So you walk into this town, and on it's seemingly every surface. There's foundations built of wooden stone, but everything is plastered with bits and pieces of scrap, of metal scrap. Now, this is a town built on export, specifically the export of weapons, of swords cut to fit from large sheets of metal. These are not quality swords. They're made en masse to furnish huge armies. And so you see these leftover pieces, these jagged edges, and being puzzled together almost in a mosaic, covering most surfaces. And as you enter the city, you arrive at the very center, where some cities would have a fountain or a statue. Here is what looks like a scrap heap, just bits and pieces that people will come and collect. Miscellaneous pieces of scrap. They seem to be walking out with all sorts of bits. And right in the center is a creature sitting down and talking to everyone who comes in and taking things and leaving them with scrap.
I forgot that Telly's good at this. It really stresses me out.
It's okay. I'll make fun of him extra so he loses confidence.
Please.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Tully, that'll do, I suppose.
It's like, whatever, I guess.
Yeah, forget that I said that first thing. You're doing okay, it's fine. All right, so on to round two, where we build upon this a little bit. Does anyone want to go first, or do I have to pick one of you cowards?
I mean, as we were continuing, I'm almost now thinking, I'm gonna go. Is that okay?
I suppose.
Thank you. Oh, God.
I'll allow it.
Just this once. I'm almost now thinking that, like, there's room for this to be sort of like a hermit crab creature. You know what I mean?
I like it.
Yeah. So instead of this being a creature that is made of metal, because I don't know how that works sort of biologically.
It's magic.
This is... That exists, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's always magic.
Not only does metal exist, Brooke, there's magic in this.
You are blowing my mind. Yeah. What's next?
We've mentioned dungeons. There be dragons.
I know. Wild.
It's too. It's
like,
too much.
I feel like the listener. It's too much. The listener can like imagine just the shudder that went through Brooke's body at the thought of dragons just now.
Yeah, in dungeons at the same time. Yeah. It's too much.
anyway, go on.
This is now organic. That's the word I needed. This is now an organic creature that I'm thinking like, you know, like a shaved sheep. It just looks really shitty. And it's clearly was not strong enough to survive on the land by itself. And we're out in this just sort of wasteland of scrap heap. Maybe this is an old civilization that has been destroyed in battle or... just the coronavirus, I don't really know. So these creatures that did manage to survive.
Don't worry, that won't be a thing by the time this comes out. The coronavirus, it'll be a distant memory, I'm sure.
It will be. Yeah. We're claiming that as fact right here and now. Oh, so
it's like the secret. If I say it, it'll come true.
Welcome to Dumb Guilfoyle Predicts the Future.
I've already said some facts about the past on this show, if you'll remember, Tully. And I won't say any more about that. Go on.
That was a menacing moment. So these creatures that for some reason have survived, maybe they were the carriers of the coronavirus in the first place, who knows, have decided to survive even further to continue their evolution is that they have now picked up this scrap and they make it a part of themselves. And as I imagine that this is a role-playing game and there's a party involved, your party comes into town, figures out what sort of sees, shit's pretty fucked here, isn't it? I think that's a technical term. They find these creatures covered in scrap metal. I imagine these creatures would have all of the good scrap metal by this point. And so I guess you've got to, I mean, you know, it's round three when you hear about the rest of the story and how we use it. But I think there's an interesting situation here for how the...
Sure.
Yes.
I want to know more about the behavior of these animals. So, are they scavengers?
I think they're very timid creatures until they are just sort of bulked up with this armor. Because that's essentially what it would be. Is like I picture a hermit crab getting a new shell, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And he's just sort of flexing. He's like, look at my new shell. And then he leaves the old one for a smaller beast. Like I would say naked, they're nothing. You could kick one into next week. But when they're sort of all cozied up in their metal form, you would not want to come up with one of these ding dongs. Name? Did you say name?
I'm a good host. How dare you? So like they just kind of they gather metal and then just build armor, or is this kind of magnetized to them?
I like that better because it sounds more interesting.
Just like
mechanically,
ball.
Don't know how it works.
They're just a magnet with like iron filings.
Maybe it's radiation. We're gonna say that it can.
It's magical. And God, what is the name?
You're a good host, but I'm a bad guest. It's Steve.
That's literally exactly what happened when someone asked like someone from Minecraft what the main character in Minecraft's name is. They said Steve ? And it's actually when you knock all the metal filings off of this creature, it's just the little avatar from Minecraft.
It's just Steve from Minecraft.
It's Steve Minecraft.
Notch, please don't come for me.
No, Notch, come for us.
I deserve
we'll take
it.
You freaking fascist.
Come back to me on that one.
Yeah, go on. Yeah. All right, who's going next?
All right, so...
I feel like it's not Tully because he's dying. Jack.
I'll give a bit more context to what I said before of that this, you know, you come into some kind of dungeon, the party arrives there, and they come across this automaton, this machine, of which activates when they're nearby, and they see it as the only way to be able to move through. It's the only thing that can open up certain sections of the dungeon. And at first... I think that this thing, it sort of acts of its own accord. It almost acts as if, you know, those people, your party, aren't really even there. Mm-hmm. But you need to kind of like, hey, maybe we should follow this thing where it's going. As you're moving through this dungeon, it reveals a bit more of that this dungeon wasn't just, you know, some old relic. It had some sort of purpose in maybe a civilization before. And this automaton, this sort of rusted old machine, is basically one of the last ones of it left, still doing its job, still like rolling on over the centuries and the centuries of time. And as they're sort of moving through, and you know, they fight all the other sorts of things that have now kind of infested this dungeon, they start to see that there are other behaviors of this automaton, that maybe it's perhaps not as plainly automatous and without sentience as they would believe.
Okay.
You know, perhaps one of the party is caught in a situation where they're fighting on their back foot, and the automaton steps in.
Okay.
And saves them.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
wow, okay. Mm. This thing had completely ignored us. Now it's doing something in our favor. As it's starting to... Because really, if you give your... I've always found that when you give your player characters an NPC of which is interesting and helpful, a lot of player characters will like, we love this. We love this thing now. And they kind of adopt it into the party, which is always really great to see. And also gives you, as a DM... good manipulative power to then do what you want with it. Yes, that's what I'll say for the second.
I like it. I also like this old ancient structure with some unknown purpose, and then one little automaton like kind of just moving throughout with some sort of purpose. I like to think that that's some sort of, you could like, it's kind of like it's a white blood cell or something in this giant organism. It's just like, all right, let's get the lights back on.
What I'm starting to feel is very like Nier Automata.
Yes, that's a good reference.
That's
point
what
for
I'm
this.
Trying to th- really what I'm. I'm feeling with this.
It's
you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's some sort. It's a machine that long since doesn't really have a purpose anymore, but it just has to keep going.
Yes,
yeah.
And as the party, you know, goes on this adventure with it, starts to see that this machine is like longing for purpose. It's not just what it's designed for. It's longing for some other connection.
Oh, same.
I believe that's called a mood.
Yeah.
And speaking of called, what is this pledge called?
Oh,
what is your hook called? What is its name?
This machine.
Your hook, like, what do you want to? You can give it an adventure title sort of thing. Like, this is the tale of 2B, the non-copyright infringing robot.
Well, you can call it Michael.
Steve's already taken.
Stefan.
Yeah. I think I'll call this the automaton.
Okay.
Yeah. I did think of a name. These creatures are called Scrapple.
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 I like it.
Thanks.
Yeah. Scrapples, scrapplings,
Steve
something
the
like
Scrapple.
That. That's cute. Yeah. I like the idea that they might actually be really cute on the inside as well. And finally,
for
round two, Sally Grimley.
Having walked into this town and discovered the creature folding up, the creature giving out gifts of scrap, you begin to look a little closer at this village. And initially, when you had seen buildings that had been plastered with scrap, almost tacked on, you find that that's not always the case. In fact, almost evenly down the middle, things are no longer built on foundations. They're just empty. It's just built of scrap. And you begin to notice that when people are walking in, they're walking in to the town with gifts, to the scrap heap with gifts. And they're walking out with what appear to be the same gifts, but made of scrap. So, investigating further, as of course you do, you see this creature building everything from one side of the town in a perfect mirror image. Matching.
Reflection.
Oh my god. Harking back to that beginning word. In a perfect mirror image, everything that is on one side is built on the other. And the creature starts to wander around, patching things up, fixing details, making sure everything's just right. A city that is halfway hollow. And that's the name of the hook. It's halfway hollow.
Okay, so it's creating a replica of the city itself.
Yes. Okay. It's so half of it is completely hollowed out. It's just been made by this thing.
Interesting.
And the people are contributing to this? They're helping?
They're helping. They're providing...
They're providing
gifts.
Bits of city so it can recreate them.
Mm.
Okay. Are the people coming from out of town? Does anyone live in this city?
Or yes.
Okay.
Yes, they do. Well, I can go a little further into it now.
I just wanted a bit of clarification about the city because I'm just...
Well, does anyone mind if I jump straight into the prestige
then? Yeah,
go on,
straight into the prestige.
So, investigating, you ask about why. Why is half of this city empty? Why is it half of it seemingly decorative? And the locals inform you that the city's been under siege for years. There's been rocks thrown, like giant rocks thrown, boulders. There's been invading armies. That half of the city is unlivable. It always has been because it's so constantly besieged. So in the end, they gave up on making the city. But, well, this creature didn't want to give up, so it continued to build. It kept keeping up appearances as if there were still people there, as if it was still something to be besieged. So the only people that wander into that half of the city now are military, are people assessing the damage and assessing who's at the gates. But perhaps you've got to figure out how to stop the siege. Perhaps you can use this to your advantage, getting in and out of the area.
Okay. So this is like the details of a city. This is a setting for the players to kind of, and then you build the listener can build a story in this city, sort of thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, that's so we've got a settlement now that you can populate.
It's a unique place. Have you been to Munich by any chance?
I haven't been to Munich.
Oh, because like even before you started describing, like when he was like it's recreating like this. Like I was actually had a thought. It was just like, oh, it's like Munich, because Munich in World War II just had the shit bombed out of it. Mm. But Hitler was like quite liked Munich, so he had people take incredibly accurate photographs and measurements and stuff of the entire city, so that it could be recreated after it was flat, which it was flattened to hell during World War II. But then now Munich is mostly made of concrete, but it's perfect recreations of all these wonderful buildings out of concrete. So that reminds
that's
me of
that's incredible.
That. Yeah, so I like that. It's this weird creature that's keeping the spirit of the old city alive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because what's better than one city but two cities?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, a tale of two cities. Zane says three cities. I would say that three's a crowd.
It's too many cities.
A crowd of cities. Four
oh,
cities.
Oh, okay, because then there's two each at least.
Oh, and
they
now
can sort of split off
I'm
and look
intrigued.
After each other.
I'm intrigued. Who wants to go next? Wrap up their stories. Oh. Brooke
do you
want to
go
back?
I'm just thinking, do you want to go?
Okay, yeah. Okay,
all right, there we go.
Okay. Okay, so yes. So to wrap up here. Now, as you've gone through this sort of journey with this automaton and through this dungeon, of which I think this automaton has a very close relationship in some way, you see that this automaton, that this was this dungeon was not just merely, you know, a dungeon. It was a factory. It was a place where, you know, industry took place. Things were produced for the civilization. You know, the old trope of, like, the civilization of which we could not understand, and they were of this very, you know, higher tier.
Whose motives we could not possibly ever understand in all of our lives.
A puny mortal mind such as yours? Of course not.
Yes, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they see that this was a gigantic... This dungeon was basically an gigantic factory put underground. Basically, this automaton was one of many thousands. And as you move through this entire dungeon, you see the sort of desiccated old remains of many automatons like it. It's the last of its kind left. And as the party becomes closer with this automaton, and as the automaton sort of, as at first seen as like a tool that gets them through the dungeon, they see that the automaton starts mimicking more of the behavior of the party, you know? People who might have some expression with their character, it starts mimicking that.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting Janet from The Good Place vibes.
Oh, I need to see The Good Place. I've not watched it yet.
Well,
but
okay.
Yes. But yeah, very. It starts. The more that the players interact with it, the more it interacts back, as they see this thing that's been so like bereft of kind of any sort of, you know, greater information being given to it, sort of start to gain like as the players interact with it. It gains, you know, more and more a degree of sentience.
I love those stories, yeah.
A sort of a purpose.
I'm kind of feeling rebooted Lost in Space vibes.
Yes. I was
going for the Iron Giant.
Yes,
exactly. And that would be the ultimate thing of it. It becomes a reflection of the party and the party's values. And from that, you know, when they get through the dungeon, the thing is to sort of have this thing be like, well, from everything that we've interacted with, it's now a full and fully fledged sort of sentient being, and you know, maybe it could join the party, maybe it has its own ambitions, and it's to now be like, oh well, we've done a tangibly as a party, we've done a tangibly good thing.
I like that. I especially like how it starts out as just like it starts out as an escort quest, or just like, oh, this is just kind of the mechanic, this is just part of the dungeon, and it becomes the heart of the story.
Yes.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. I find that I like to have NPCs like that that are important to the story. Mm. Not ones that take the main stage, but ones who I can help to tell a story with. So, and ones that the players can have some sort of significant interaction with the development of.
Yeah.
But I'm never too sensitive to be like, you can't destroy my baby. if it gets flattened, I'm like, well, that's on you.
I especially like that this is the sort of characters that players will kind of, you know, read into themselves and imprint their impressions on. And then it turns out that's what they were doing that. It was becoming them. That's fun.
Yeah.
I like that. Mm-hmm. All right, yeah. The automaton. Nice. And finally, back to...
Scrapples. Steve the Scrapple.
Steve the Scrapple.
Steve the Scrapple. There's multiple Scrapple. Here's the situation. There was a very prosperous town back in the day, known entirely for their trading of a very rare precious metal. But as the economy shifted, the tensions got heated, and there was a big old war, as there tends to be, and this town was flattened. Mm-hmm. Before anyone else could, the Scrapple moved in, took over, and started to live amongst the heap. But now your party have come across a situation where they're in desperate need of some of this metal. So what they have to do is decide to face the Scrapple and deface them, steal them of their shells, or perhaps more interestingly is find the Scrapple new homes. They have to go out and find new shells for these giant sort of sheepish hermish crabs.
Yes.
So that they can use and utilize the metal and reboot this precious metal economy.
I like it, and there's definitely...
I love that quest.
There's a party member in every party who is just like, ugh, for God's sake, and just goes to an artisan and is just like, I would like 15 large shell-shaped objects made of ceramic by the end of the week.
I want handcrafted shells.
Yes.
From Etsy.com.
Yes.
That'll be 600 platinum, please.
Yeah. I've got seven gold. I would like to roll to attack. But yes, I like that. And then obviously the classic moral dilemma that we love to put on our players before remembering they're a bunch of murder hobos.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. And this can be up to the players themselves, but like, what do they look like under those shells?
Again, all I picture is a naked sheep. Like, like a lot of like the gobbly bit of a turkey is sort of, you know, what I mean? Like a lot of just saggy bits. It's not very nice.
Yeah.
But maybe we could rebrand.
Like a shaved pug.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
And how intelligent are they? Like, are they animals or not?
I'm picturing them to have a form of communication so that you can talk to them,
yes,
right? And sort of be able to explain this situation to them. Because I think like realistically, they wouldn't be in a position where they would want to hurt you, but this is also their home. Mm. Like, you would need to provide them something better for them to give this up so quickly.
Nice. All right. Well, that's our show, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. And if you'd like to use any of the hooks we've come up today...
Don't. Mine's copyright. I'm kidding. That's a dumb bit.
I will countermand that. That is not true. One thing that you need to consider is feel free to use them in your campaigns and such. However, Hooked is produced under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Non-Derivatives 4.0 International License. This means that you are free to share and redistribute the material in any medium or format if you give appropriate credit. Do not use the material for commercial purposes, and do not remix, transform, or build upon the material in any way. You can remix and rebuild whatever, if so long as it stays at your table and not in the wider world. But the moment you put it out in the wider world, get in touch with us. And get in touch with us anyway if you like the show, or if you or if you've used any of the ideas or any inspiration from the show. We'd love to hear from you on Twitter, on Facebook, in person. You know, slip a note under my door.
Stalk me?
Yeah. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. Not on Twitter anymore. We've been over that.
But if you want to get in contact with him, just contact Graham Linehan with an insult, and it'll be sent with a restraining order.
Yeah.
Call Linehan a fuckhead.
Yeah.
For Dom. Mm.
Yeah.
On behalf of all of you.
Go fuck yourself, you gammon prick. This has been Hooked. I've been joined by regular host Tully Grimley.
Hello, hello. If you want to listen to more of my dulcet tones, you can find me every second Wednesday on the Dungeon Deep Dive, where we do research into fantasy world building, specific elements. The last one that we've uploaded, was Siege Warfare, before we've done things like castles and vampires and mermaids. If you'd like to have a listen to that, please feel free.
Okay, and we've been joined by Jack. Do you have anything you'd like to plug, Jack?
Oh, I will be helping out in the Brisbane Sci-Fi Festival with a cyberpunk tabletop game.
Cool. When
that
is, when is that? This was released.
I believe this is the 1st of April.
Okay. This will be out before then. Then that's yeah.
Oh,
cool.
Great. Yep. Well, I'm running that. So that's a live game that people can come and watch.
Nice.
I'd love for anyone to come. I love to do live games in which I kind of explain a lot of the rules and stuff. And it's cyberpunk. It's the cyberpunk red book box that they've come out with. But it's got some of the rules that are coming out with it. So that'll be interesting. That'll be fun to give it a try.
All right. Hell yeah. And thank you for joining us, Brooke. Do you have anything to plug?
Follow me on Instagram, I guess. I like to think that I'm hot. At brook.lr. That's it. I'll be doing more interesting things.
You've definitely got something to plug.
Oh.
Don't you?
The show?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm making a show. It's a little while off, but I'm coming to an Anywhere Theatre Festival near you this year. This car is going to crash. If you follow me on Instagram, I will be talking about it nonstop once all the info comes out. But I'm very excited about it. Please come watch me fuck up live.
Anywhere is in May, is it not?
Yes, May. My shows will be between the 11th and the 17th.
All right. Hell yeah. And I've been Dom Guilfoyle. I've got stuff to plug, but who knows when it'll come out, so screw it. Look, yeah, Zane is just breaking down, and it's totally reasonable. Thank you so much for listening to Hooked. We'll see you next time in your dreams.
Bye.
Bye.